This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. All you gotta do is trust me. The number one fuck... Chet Hayes in the fucking house. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give the people a shout out. Oh, sorry, Arthur. He's requesting a chunk of my Mack Weldon money before he will talk on mic. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, not requesting any of my money yet, but I'd be willing to give it to him because he's given me hours of free entertainment. It's my friend, comedian, writer, podcast host, Dave Schilling.
Wow, what an intro. It wasn't as obnoxious as you had said. You were like, oh, it's going to be obnoxious. I thought there'd be like funny noises or like air horns or something. It was just normal Gabrus energy, and it was totally
fine. Yeah, I was about to say.
It's very reasonable.
It's more obnoxious for people who don't know me. People who have stood next to me at indie wrestling events can kind of assume how my tone it will be.
Who's this fucking guy? Goddamn. Yeah. No, this is totally normal. As someone who's also an independent wrestling fan who has probably said all manner of obscene things to professional wrestlers. What you did was nothing, man. You're like a two on the spectrum right now.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. And that's all I wanted to hear, Dave. That's what I was going
with. You wanted to hear that you're on the spectrum?
Yeah, I mean, I could have just went to my doctor to determine that, but I'm glad to hear it from my personal doctor, my Harold Bornstein, Dave Schilling.
Mazel tov to you, sir. Excellent.
Is that Trump's doctor's name, that guy?
Dr. Harold Bernstein?
Yeah, oh, something like that. I'm going to have you fill out my next medical paperwork that I need.
I will. I'll be
like, this is my Dr. Dave. Hawaiian shirt, thumbs up picture.
could I just say that you're, if they ask you if you're sick, I'll just say, yeah, he's sick. Sick as fuck, dude.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
And then somehow draw yourself going shock up top for a high five.
Yeah, shaka narnar, baby. Yes.
Dave, we have so much shit that we could talk about, but when I emailed you about topics, you hit me with men's fashion, and I was so into that idea. I'm currently so into that idea, and I have been commenting on maybe every third IG post of every outfit of the day post you do, so I may have started this dialogue that way. But I started truly being like, damn, Dave looks tight today. Man, that's a little that's a little formal for me. Or like, and I'm like, why do I care so much? But I was enjoying the conversation.
I appreciate you getting in there and letting your voice be heard, man. That's important. But yeah,
it's time my voice was heard. It's
exactly
about time.
Yes, you're so quiet all the time and reserved. I feel like now, you know what? After all the things that happened in Minneapolis, it's time for you, John.
People need to hear from me.
Speaking up. We want to know what you think about things. Thank you. Yeah, so I thought when you were like, hey, you get to pick your topic. What do you want to talk about? I was like, okay, I can talk about sports because I got a sports podcast. But no. Now, everybody talks about sports. Sports is just a played out topic. It's too broad. I could talk about basketball or specifically or baseball. No, too easy. I could have talked about RoboCop is my favorite movie of all time. I could have spent an hour and a half talking to you about RoboCop. Definitely
yes,
not
I
the time.
Understand.
Not the time to be talking about RoboCop, okay? Let's not glorify the police any more than they already have been.
Defund RoboCop.
Defund fucking RoboCop.
But we landed on
fashion. Because I thought, there's nobody else that's going to come on your show and ask you to talk about men's fashion. I cannot think of any other person in your orbit, any of our peers who care about clothes as much as I do. So that's what I thought. And because I'd seen you comment on my Instagram posts, specifically when I do wear Hawaiian shirts or I do wear sandals or Birkenstocks or shorts, you're like, ah, dude, that's what I'm talking about. That's the good outfit. You got the good stuff now. So we can discuss, hopefully, my interest in formal wear versus your interest in extreme casual wear that borders on underwear or pajamas.
I am at home. I would describe my fashion as loungewear. Outside, I would describe my fashion as vacation. That's what I'm aiming for. Especially, I dressed like this when I lived in New York. So moving to LA and having a car where I don't have to commute in shorts, flip-flops, and a Hawaiian shirt is a real fucking... I don't have to commute on the subway in that. I could drive in my car personally. So it's... That's been my look, and formal wear I've formally rejected since I was a child. I'm well aware that I can pull off a suit. I can't really. I don't feel comfortable in it, but I look good in a suit. You pull off a fucking suit very well. You look like someone who has some professional decorum of some sort.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in California where it's quite casual. Where people wear shorts and things all the time. Whereas, you know, you're an East Coast guy, so I would think, like, suits and ties and loafers and, you know, business wear would be something you would understand. So it's almost like we're switched. We're, like, polar opposite people. When I go to New York, I don't want to wear shorts. I don't want to wear sandals. I don't want people barfing on my feet or pissing on me or like having my bare thighs rubbing against the subway seats. It's disgusting.
Having your raw hamstring touch a fucking F train subway seat is rough. I will admit, peeling my fucking fat hammy off of a fucking subway seat is upsetting for sure.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get that thigh meat contaminated, you know? That's not happening.
I'm not trying to contaminate my thigh meat or the car subway chair.
Absolutely not. Yeah. What if I got all kinds of like gross gunk on my thigh meat? You know, you don't want to spread that shit. No. So yeah, I try to dress up when I go to New York. But here, you know, I can wear seersucker pants, which I'm wearing right now, or I can khaki shorts. Like, I want to be comfortable because it's too hot. And as a fellow bigger guy, we sweat. Oh. We sweat all the time. And traditional menswear, suits and stuff like that, it's not designed for us to breathe. It's designed for people to be constricted. You know, you're buttoning things up or wearing, you know, a vest underneath a suit jacket or something. Chelsea boots, you know, come up to your ankles, past
layers,
your ankles.
Layers upon layers. Shirt under undershirt underneath a shirt underneath a jacket.
I need to fucking breathe. Yeah. I need to be able to let my armpits get some air circulation. Otherwise, I'm going to be, you know, smelling like the toll booth operator in the Jersey Turnpike or something. It's disgusting.
I don't get stinky from BO on day one, but I get wet. I get like I can go through a. I've been known to. Pit out a jacket that's like the third layer, like in the back, like, you know, that's like that's going through a vest, a t-shirt, everything. And you got to have like that commitment, like a Southern lawyer, like in A Time to Kill, where you're just like, everyone is drenched and we're okay with it. Like, that's, I have to just get there in my head and then I can live. But in,
yeah, or you carry like a fan and you're just constantly like, oh Lord, 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 another spicy day down here in Savannah, Georgia, baby. Woo!
Constantly worried about getting the vapors and passing.
Exactly.
Out.
Like, if I pass the fuck out while I was trying to like give us an opening statement in a trial, I feel like they would disbar me because they think I was on poppers or something. I have a suit. It's a beautiful suit. Very expensive. Probably in total cost me over $1,200 or something. It's from this designer, Dries Van Noten, who's, I think he's Danish or something. One of those white races that you've heard about. And it's very thin summer weight suit. But if I wear it for the entire day, during the day, I will take the jacket off, and it's like a navy blue, like almost dark enough to be black, but it's navy. And there'll just be sweat rings on my back. Just white. It's like someone drew chalk on the back of my fucking suit. And that's sweat. So I'm dry cleaning this thing every single time I wear it, or I'm just like rubbing it out with like water and a paper towel just so I could wear it again because I sweat so fucking much. So you can't really be fashionable if you're a sweater.
I can relate totally, and I think that's part of what I think the leisure wear, like the button-down shirts open with no undershirt and shorts and sockless Toms or flip. I think it all stems from my desire to not sweat out clothes, because I find men's clothes is like, there's like, yep, just going back to the spectrum. the men's clothing has two spectrums. It's like formal, stuffy, constrict yourself in. And then on the other side is like tactical Under Armour. Like, it's like men have two choices. Like, are you wearing a performance fleece that breathes with like a fucking Under Armour and Vibrams, like toe shoes, or are you wearing a fucking high heels and a fucking polyester suit? Like, there, it's like somewhere in the middle lies some cool ass fashion, I'm aware, but in my mind, those are the two options men go. Like, it's like I'm either the dude in fucking head to toe fucking tactical gear or head to toe fucking pimped out like layered ass suit.
Yeah, I'm just imagining you in like a riot helmet and a fisherman's vest. Like, I'm fully tactical. The problem if you're me, right, and we're kind of like, we're not normal shaped, we're big, we're tall, we're wide, is clothes are not made for us, right?
Thank you. This is the other major fucking thing, is that I can't even fucking, nothing's cut for my build.
Right. So if you buy off the rack, if you go to Zara and you're like, I'm going to buy a suit and I'm going to wear it to a job interview or a funeral or whatever, you know, I'm going to buy a suit off the rack from a fast fashion place or whatever. They are cut for a certain body type. They are cut for a body type that is thinner, that doesn't have a waist, you know, or any sort of significant amount of baggage in their seat.
Dave Schilling got that big ass backyard, baby.
I got a fat ass, is what I'm saying. Yeah, I got a huge fucking ass. And when I got my suit done for my wedding, when I got married, I'm divorced now, but I used to be married. I went to Men's Warehouse. That's how little money I had at the time. I went to Men's Warehouse and I got a Joseph Aboud suit. Joseph Aboud is like one of the things you can get at like
a Macy's,
Kohl's, like yeah, a Kohl's or a Macy's or something. Yeah, like some just kind of generic trash brand. Anyway, I get the suit and the guy's like, "Well, you have a pretty significant seat there, sir." And he's he's drawing all around my ass. Like, I guess we got to take this out and move this and do that. That costs money. Yeah, that costs so much money to be able to get clothes that fit your body type.
Yeah, Dave, as we say, Dave's got that expensive ass.
I got a $1 million ass and a 10-cent face, baby.
Woo! That sounds like opening bars to something I would be excited to listen to.
Exactly. I mean, I'm a writer. That's my job, is to come up with cool shit like that. So if you don't have the money to get a suit, you know, either, you know, made from scratch, you know, a bespoke suit, if you don't have that, you can get it altered. But even if you get it altered, the suit is still designed for someone that's not you. So it's, they can take it out as much as they want, or they can take it in or whatever, but it's still not going to fit properly on your body. If you get a bespoke suit and you've got thousands of dollars to waste, then you can get something that's going to make you look like George Clooney. But that's not something you and I can do.
Right.
At least not right now.
No, I mean, I did get a custom suit for my wedding, but I got a custom suit from a like New York custom suit place. So it wasn't like a bespoke as much as like you go there, they measure you, and like they 3D print a suit overseas. I call it 3D printing. Unfortunately, it's probably child labor or something, but I got like a real, it wasn't crazy expensive, but it wasn't cheap either. I think I paid like $800 or $900 for a 3-piece suit cut for me. And for people listening who are like, I don't have the money for that, look in your closet, from the men listening, look in your closet and look at your suits. Do you have three $300 suits that kind of fit, kind of don't fit? If you got one really good suit and like two dress shirts and three ties, you can rock six weddings in one summer, like six weddings in one season with one suit if you play your cards right. And it's worth fucking coughing up the extra bucks to have a tailored suit. To have a custom suit, yeah.
This is a crucial thing to understand. First, I will say, I think your point about child labor is interesting. Child labor is the original 3D printer. because they are three dimensions and they do print things out. Anyway,
and people like to ignore the step when you click print to when it's done. Like, how does 3D printing work? It's like, how does this suit made so cheap? You're like, don't answer.
Don't worry about it, baby. Don't worry about it.
Just buy it for cheap. Trust me.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so the important thing to know about a suit is that it is not just the suit, right? You have options when it comes to a suit. You can wear a suit with different shoes, different shirts, different ties, no tie. You can do so much with a suit.
The jacket with jeans, the pants with just a shirt. Yeah,
exactly. So you could do a million different things, but you have to have the creativity and the thought behind how to put, you know, an outfit together. So if you buy just a navy blue suit, you can wear that to weddings. You can wear that to court. God forbid you find yourself crossing paths with Johnny Law, you can wear it to court. You can wear it, you know, to like, you know, barbecues or crawfish boils or whatever the fuck people do in suits. I don't know. You can do any kind of thing with that. You can wear it to work. But you have to know how versatile the items are. You have to have an eye for that stuff. And that comes with time. That comes with randomly scanning magazines to look at how other people dress and see what other people do. I learned how to dress, is not just because I have an innate sense of style, but because I saw other people who had style. And I said, that inspires me to do something similar, but not exactly like that.
Yeah. And then also a little bit of what you're saying too, is a little trial and error, is like, you got to throw that suit pants on with a shirt and a cardigan and be like, nope. Whether you catch it in the mirror or you catch it after a night out where you were like, that wasn't the vibe I was going for. And like,
you were
going
to brick a fit. It is guaranteed you're going to brick fits. Yes, exactly. But that means you need to have your friends, your boys, around to tell you fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Your friend group is just as important to your style as anybody else, because your friends are going to be able to call you out when you do something dumb.
Yeah, it's like weaponizing bullying. It's like you're recreating the shit that happened to you in high school, but you're asking for it from your peers. You're like, okay, bully me for this outfit. And if they're like, actually, it looks pretty tight, you're like, got it, mission accomplished. But if they're like, oh, you're like, look at that fucking collar, it looks like you're trying to choke down mayo or whatever, you're like, got it, okay, time to fix that.
Yeah, if you give your friends, if you give a bunch of dudes a chance to talk shit about you when they don't take it, that means they got no ammo. They got nothing. Because they would, every guy would gladly just mercilessly rail you for being a clown if they had the chance. Like, all my friends are basically just waiting for me to fuck up. Right. Just, they're only around because they're waiting for me to fuck up.
Yeah. And I can't even have a typo in a text.
Like, if exactly. You know. Like, look at this fucking clown. What do you go to community college? You jack off. Like, they can't wait. I bought Yeezys a couple years ago.
Oh,
before
boy.
Kanye fully became a MAGA guy, I bought Yeezys. So sometimes I will wear them because, one, I spent $250 on them.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I'm going to get my money's worth for these things. And two, they're really comfortable. They feel great on my feet.
Yeah.
And I don't care what they stand for to you. If they're comfortable on my big-ass feet, I'm going to wear them. So sometimes I'll wear them just out to do nothing important. And then I'll just get ragged for it. It's like, look at those stupid potato sacks on your feet. You look like a fool. You look like a sharecropper. What's wrong with you? But that's what your boys are for, man. Boys are there to keep you in check.
And you know, now you know. It's like, when I'm putting on the Yeezys, I'm prepared. I know what I'm asking for. I'm asking for it with this outfit. That's probably the worst way to phrase that, but you know what I mean.
yeah, you have to know what you're getting into if you're going to make a choice like that. And that's fine. You were allowed to make bad choices, but your friends are also trying to look out for your best interest. And they're going to tell you, like, I don't know if you should wear purple and yellow together. It doesn't look very good. You kind of look like the Joker. Maybe you should tone it down.
Yeah, unless you're marching, like, unless you're at a Lakers game or you're marching in like a second line, like, I don't think you can pull off purple.
Yeah. There are situations where it's okay, and there are situations where You look like the Joker.
You mentioned going to court. That's how I feel when I put a suit on. I always feel like I'm an offensive lineman who got like a college offensive lineman who's going in for his DWI. I just feel like I've never buttoned the top button of a fucking dress shirt since I was like 13. I have like this fat fucking neck and arms and like the jacket, like I can get the button on, but only one. And it's, you can hear it asking for support the entire time. And that's how I feel. And then when you get a fucking custom suit that puts on you and you feel like fucking Bond, you feel like you're like, holy shit, this is different. And the whole time I was just choosing to make myself uncomfortable.
Yeah,
in these suits, and because I didn't like wearing suits, I didn't want to put effort into or money into buying suits. But then, like, along comes a year when you're in your early 30s, and I mean, this probably happens in the early 20s of people who don't live in New York or LA. But in your mid 30s, all your friends start getting married for the first time.
Yeah. For the first time,
yeah, or the second time. So you're like, oh, I got to wear a suit once in June, twice in July, two in September. And then you're like, you get yourself a fucking suit that feels comfortable and that works. And then you're not dreading it. You're looking forward to slapping on your suit because you know you're not going to destroy your fucking pubis with a fucking tight waist. You know that you're not going to split. I've split my dress pants at like three different parties. And it's like but when I go in with my fucking custom made pants, I'm indestructible.
Confidence. It's all about confidence.
Yeah.
If you are physically uncomfortable, you're going to be emotionally uncomfortable. So it's
Wow, I like that.
Boom. I mean, somebody let me write a self-help book about clothes. God damn, he's smart. Yeah, you want to...
I wouldn't shout out the publishing industry on High and Mighty. I don't know if they're listening.
Hey, maybe Simon & Schuster. I know you love Gabris.
Hey, New York literary world, who's listening?
Harper's Bazaar.
Jonathan Franzen has been a day one shithead, I've heard.
Loves Action Boys. Yeah, man, I think people who say they don't like to dress up just have a bunch of bad suits and bad shirts. And I was like that when I was a kid because I was... Even when I was like at my most fit when I was playing baseball, I was still a lopey, lumpy looking fucking guy. So when I dressed up, I was just like, God, why can't I just wear like cargo pants from Abercrombie or something? This sucks. But that's because the collars were too big or too small. Like, I have a neck that's not as big as yours, but I have a neck that is significant enough that I'm somewhere in the middle between like a 16 and a 17, but not even a 16 and a half.
I'm like an 18 doesn't close. I have to go to like mine has to be from like the Dallas Cowboys line of dress shirts or some shit like that.
Yeah, wherever the guy Hightower, Bubba Smith from the Police Academy got his suits, that's where I need to go. I need to get Hightower suits.
Hightower and Tackleberry is a great two-person name for a clothing company. It sounds like they sound like British tailors, right?
Yeah. Savile Row Tailors, Hightower and Tackleberry. For all your bespoke needs. And then fucking Michael Winslow shows up and starts beatboxing.
Zip.
It's cool.
He's doing all the noises as you get you dressed. Zip.
But when you dress well, man, you can feel it. You can feel you're a different person because you're not... It's as close to being naked as you're going to get in public.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. Because you're not... the clothes should fit effortlessly on you and not show themselves off. There shouldn't be no attention drawn from what you're saying to what you're wearing because it should look comfortable, physically comfortable. Once you start wearing things that don't fit, then you're like sucking in your gut or like you're bending over or like you're doing all kinds of gymnastics to make yourself look good. If you have a good suit, if you have a good pair of pants... You don't have to do all that shit, and you can just focus on being comfortable and being yourself.
Do you think part of the reason I and other people, or maybe even yourself, men reject formal wear early is because when you're a child, you're like forced to wear it in like what are for a child boring situations. It's always like, it's for communion, it's for a party, it's for the awards dinner, it's for graduation. It's all shit that kind of sucks when you're a kid. So
it's
like
stuff that sucks, for sure.
Yeah, and then when you're older, it's like going to a wedding, going to a friend's party that requires a suit. That's a fucking party. That's a good time. But you still have the holdover. I was like, the suit is for job interviews. The suit is for college admissions meetings. The suit is for I got in trouble with the police and I got to wear one. Like, it's, oh, if the suit feels negative to me. But I think there's a point when you get older when you realize, I'll put on this fucking, because the people that I think are the craziest are the Pauls of the world, the PFTs and the Paul Feigs. They're both PFs, I guess. These guys who go full formal wear full time.
Yep, yep.
I just like, that's just not something I can even wrap my head around. But when you see them, you're like, that guy, this person pulls it off.
I've always liked people like that who have a public persona, like the author Tom Wolfe would always wear like a white suit, and a hat, you know, and a vest, like a 3-piece suit that's white. Like, that was cool. Or Fran Lebowitz, the writer, she always wears the same like Anderson and Shepard blazer, jeans, and cowboy boots. And like, that always seemed cool to me because that meant that you had a trademark, you had a thing that people remembered you for. You were special in some way. Hunter S. Thompson always wore Hawaiian shirts and mirrored sunglasses. Or not mirrored sunglasses, but like colored sunglasses.
The yellow sunnies and then that bucket hat, that ugly ass bucket
like
hat.
That's great because that means you're like a character. Like, yeah. I've always wanted... people who are actors, you know, they can be whatever character they want to be. But I've always wanted to be a character all the time. And like be like Wes Anderson is a fucking character all the time. He's always being fucking Wes Anderson all
you
the time.
You wanted to be the character Dave Schilling all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. I wanted myself to be a persona. Like, that's always seemed cool to me. So I always gravitated towards people like that, and PFT dressing up is awesome. I don't, when did he even start doing that? Because if you watch like old stuff that he's in or whatever, like old pictures of him when he was at, I guess, Second City or whatever, he just dressed like a regular guy. So yeah. At what point did he say, now I have the resources and the wherewithal to just be that guy who dresses up like a Southern lawyer all the time?
That's a good question. I was a PA on Best Week Ever in 2005, and I was transcribing PFT interview tapes, and he was fucking suited to the nines back then. So it's been at least 15 years at this point.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. Well, I mean, I appreciate his commitment to that and doing that. I think it's awesome, and it's something I aspire to at some point. But I think the reason why kids don't like dressing up is what you said, but also because you don't get anything out of it.
There you go.
Today, if I dress up, if let's say I was single again, and I dress up and I go to a bar, let's say bars are open, and I look good. I look actually good in my clothes. There is a reward of possibly having sex with someone.
Right.
If I dress up and I go to a party, an industry party, and I look really good and I impress a bunch of people, the reward is career advancement.
Right. Or even you just feel better about yourself. That is a reward enough that gets you in, like, you know what I mean? Like, if it's going to make you enjoy the party that much more or enjoy how you feel about yourself that much more, therein lies the success. But if it's your communion, you're not like, I get a fucking bond from grandma whether I wear a suit or I don't.
Exactly. There's no social benefit to dressing up. Sexual benefit, financial benefit. Those are the two things that motivate people to do everything. So when you flip through a fucking GQ magazine and you see like people talking about their favorite watches or something, the watch is not only to impress people, but also to show to other people that you are successful. If you have a nice suit, that means you must be a good person. Like, it's all connected. And I think that's why I got into clothes, and that's why I became so obsessed with dressing well. The last, I think, 5 years is when it really went from like, oh, I'll go to H&M or Zara and try to find something cool, to like, I'm going to just take the money that I have and I'm going to buy the nicest stuff that I can and not have a bunch of it, but have enough good stuff that I can always feel like I'm a more comfortable, happier person.
Yeah, I would say in the last couple of years is the first time I started like purchasing clothing that I knew I liked, and not just like for, I would say up until 2 years ago, I was living off of cargo shorts and free t-shirts given to me from, and then any one of my non-graphic t-shirts or ties or anything for the longest time was all stolen wardrobe from the assorted jobs I hosted over like 5 years. It's like, thank you to True TV and MTV for supplying me with like 4 blazers, like 8 button-down shirts and 2 pairs of jeans over the course of the last, but now, and here's the thing, the only thing I've started doing since I'm a little more financially stable. I wouldn't even say have money yet, but when I find a shirt that fits, when I find a Tommy Bahama double XL Hawaiian shirt that I like the way it sits on me, your boy goes and gets 3 different colors. When your boy finds a pair of shorts that fit, when he finds that the Chubbies khaki shorts have elastic waistbands and work very well and look kind of formal vacation-y, your boy buys 8. Your boy waits till a discount is on, and then he buys 8 of them. And now I know how they're going to fit on my body. I don't have to. I'm so brand loyal because of fit, and because you were discussing it earlier about the weird body. I don't need to get into body image issues, but I'm a big guy. I'm 6'2", 300 pounds, but I have huge thighs, big shoulders, big arms, no ass. I'm on the other end of the shilling spectrum there. I have no hiney, big gut. So my body is like, to fucking put on, first of all, I need to get like a Coleman's 4-person tent's worth of material to turn it into a fucking shirt. So when I find shit that sits on my body right, and that makes me brand and designer loyal. Like, because I know, and I don't even mind. Some people don't want to buy a 3XL, but once I understand your cuts, like I can do a double XL in Ralph Lauren, but I need triple XL in this, and this. So once I know that, I start to feel way more comfortable with myself. And that's something you can only learn by, like, and this was new to me, paying attention to what you're wearing and like giving a shit and stuff. And it was the most minor of steps, but I do feel better every day that I'm like, oh, I like these sneakers. Oh, they're comfortable. They look cool on me and they look good with shorts, something I also wear a lot. So boom, buy 2 pairs of those shoes, buy 5 pairs of those shorts. That's like what I've done. And I'm talking about $40 shorts, $50 shirts. I'm not even buying bougie expensive shit, but that's just the idea that I'm like, oh, this works for me. Let me, and I enjoy it. I feel good in it. Let me get 2 more. And keep the variety going, but I like just locking in where everything in my closet I know is gonna put, I'm gonna put it on and go, that feels good to put on.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing that everybody needs to know is you're not going to get the same fit wherever you go size wise. Like, you can be an XL at one store and you can be a double XL at another store. And don't feel bad if you're a double XL and you have to ask the clerk at the store for a double XL. Like, I go to APC, the APC on Silver Lake, or Sunset in Silver Lake, not too far from the 99 cent store. If you know where that is, it's Silver Lake. It's across the street from the 99 cent store. It's like a mid-level, like, pretty expensive but not too expensive French clothing brand. And I know that if I go there, I am going to have to most likely wear a double XL. Now, I like their clothes, and I could pretend I'm an XL to feel like I'm thinner, but that's not the point. No one's going to see what size it is. They're going to see that it fits you. That said, I can go other places, and I'm still an XL. But it's just because certain things are cut for thinner frames. Certain things are cut for bigger frames. So you can't assume that you're an XL everywhere. Try on clothes. If you were buying anything off of the rack, try it on first. Do not assume it's going to fit, even if it's a place you go to all the time.
Yes, because that's the thing that kills me is when your normal, like Ralph Lauren does this a lot because they're double XLs and they make fun colors and patterns. So I'm often looking through their stuff and their double XLs always fit. But then there's just like a new kind of cut or some kind of new design. And it's like this year's short sleeve double XL shirts just don't fit me for whatever reason. And it's just like a slight cut. Like I'll get a double XL shirt that'll fit everywhere but the bicep, or it'll fit everywhere but I can't get any of the buttons closed. And it's like just last year, this exact kind of fucking pattern worked.
Mighty.
For over 100 years, Tryco has been the leader in innovation and ingenuity for everything wiper blades. Tryco was the first mass-produced wiper blades, and they have received numerous awards from vehicle manufacturers who trust Tryco to put the best product on their vehicles. One of their products, Tryco Neoform, is designed to match your vehicle's exact connection. No more guessing, no more hassle, no more confusion while installing your wiper blades. Not only are they easy to install, but they are high-quality beam blades built to beat any type of weather. Ooh, that's a tongue twister. High-quality beam blades built to beat any type of weather. Tryco Ultra Wiper Blades are American-made premium beam wiper blades that shine in any weather. These blades also feature a unique design that converts wind force into extra pressure, allowing for maximum windshield contact. And the Tryco Smart Set wiper blades automatically pairs the correct size and fit wiper blades specific to your vehicle. That's two wiper blades sized perfectly and with the correct connection already attached. Simply visit wipers123.com, enter your vehicle information, and select whichever smart set you prefer. Tryco Smart Set Monsoon for areas with heavy rainfall, Tryco Smart Set Tundra for cold, snowy areas, and Tryco Smart Set Storm for everything else in between. Go to wipers123.com and use promo code MIGHTY at checkout and receive $10 off your next order of $40 or more. Go to wipers123.com and use promo code MIGHTY at checkout and receive $10 off your next order of $40 or more. Trying on clothes is my least favorite part of life. I'll say that. One of my least favorite things, and that's obviously coming from a point of privilege when one of your least favorite things that you have to do in life is try on clothes. But because of my job, as an actor, it's a major part of being an actor. And then as being a human being that needs to shop, it's a major part of that. And I think putting what I just said and what you just said together, I think part of the reason why when I find a shirt that fits and I buy three of them is because I don't ever want to... Like, if I could prevent having to try shit on, it's so ideal.
Yeah, don't make me do this anymore. I think there are a lot of people who think there's some sort of ideal number of clothes you're going to have in your wardrobe. You'll never get there if you start to like clothes. You're always going to want to try different things. But your point is well taken about Ralph Lauren is fashion changes. Fashion is always changing. There are seasons in fashion. You know, there's fall, winter, there's resort, there's spring, summer. There's all of these times when they put out new clothes, and the way people think about how clothes should look on your body changes. The way that people think that you should wear your pants or wear your shirt or whatever, it's going to change.
Yeah, we've been alive through baggy sweatpants, through tight sweatpants, from baggy jeans to bootcut jeans to tapered leg jeans. Like, we've seen all of these things pass, and it's like, along the way, are you changing jeans? Are you fucking digging in your heels because you love boot cut? Like, I can't imagine going back from tapered on sweatpants and jeans now having done it, but I can't imagine baggy ever being in style again.
My immense joy in life is knowing that there will never be a time when elastic waistbands leave our planet.
Yeah.
When we were kids, there was no elastic waistband anything. There was sweatpants.
Yeah.
If you wanted something that stretched, you got sweats or you got leggings or something.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I didn't even own jeans going into sixth grade.
You can't. It's like, yeah, if you have a fucked up body, you can't buy jeans.
I was the kid who's wearing like sweatpants and like bike shorts to school with like or Zubaz pants and like a solid print neon colored t-shirt, which worked for me up until like sixth grade when I went to like an all black and Hispanic school because no one was like, I was just getting roasted. But when I went to when I switched to like an all white school is when it got to be like psychological bullying hit in. And I was like, Mom, I need jeans immediately. They don't like my puff paint yin yang crew neck sweatshirt I wore.
Yeah, why is this guy dressed like Brian Bosworth?
Yeah,
what the fuck is wrong with him?
Why is this guy dressed like my dad, who's the assistant soccer coach of my travel soccer team? It's truly what it was. It's like, this kid's 13. He shouldn't be dressed like this.
But now, I don't know if it's because we've just given up as a society or we just are comfortable being comfortable, but I can get dress pants that have an elastic waist. Dude. And it's like, okay, now I can dress like a human being instead of being concerned about, like, oh, if I get the waist too wide, the pant leg is going to be too long, and I'm going to be walking on my pant legs. Because you know how with jeans, it's like, oh, this is a 34 waist and a 30 leg, or like the worst fucking thing in the whole world is rummaging through the jeans rack at Urban Outfitters,
like,
or something.
Do you have a 42? And they're like, Jesus Christ, we don't make that. And you're like, don't say
we
that.
We have one 42, but it's also 42 long pant legs. So you have to be minute bowl, but you also have to be fat as fuck. Like, this is not for me. I need a 36 32. That's all I need. And it's impossible to find a 36 32.
Dude,
it's horrible.
I'm with you on that. The stretch in the waist is like a dream come true, because especially going back to the formal wear thing, it's like if you wear your suit like once a quarter, it's not going to feel the same every time you put it on, because, you know, you might have a little bit of a quarantine belly going. You might have a little bit of been hitting the curls a little bit and the jacket's tight in the arms or whatever. But that little bit of elastic lets you go, oops, I put on 5 pounds. I can still wear these pants. Or more ideally, I could put on these pants and then put on 5 pounds at the party. Which is what I need.
Exactly.
I need the elastic waist, so when I put them on, I feel comfortable. And then when I have eat the rest of my wife's entree, I don't feel disgusting.
Yeah, it's like I've had enough beer to where I'm maybe 3 or 4 pounds heavier just from liquid, and so I need some room to move. New Year's Eve, we went to a New Year's Eve party that was formal. And so I wore a double-breasted suit from this Swedish company called Acne Studios. It's very nice. I got it altered so that it fit my fat ass. But as soon as I started drinking and eating, I was just like, I'm uncomfortable. Now I'm starting to sweat a little bit. Like, I sweat when I'm uncomfortable. When I'm trying on clothes at the store, I start sweating because I'm uncomfortable, because I'm moving around, because it's hot in the store. And then I look like I'm going to start stealing from people or something.
And then sweating makes you uncomfortable, and then it's a constant cycle. Now you're uncomfortable with the fact that you're sweating, which is making you sweat more, and then you're like, quick, I got to pull up these fresh pair of pants over my sweaty calves, and it feels weird, and I gotta buy these now. Like, you're preaching to the choir, Dave. That shit is so stressful to me.
Yeah, I got my stink on it, so I have to buy it.
I guess I'll take these.
I feel like they turn the heat up in those changing rooms to force people to buy clothes. It's horrible. I'm glad that we're having this this therapy session for big guys on this podcast. Like, if you're kind of a weird looking dude, or you're a little fat, or you're too tall, this is a podcast for you, folks.
Oh yeah, I mean,
thank God we're doing this.
Bring on all the freaks. This is this podcast is is like for freaks by freaks.
But yeah, man, clothes sucks sometimes.
Clothes can really suck, and so. Just to bring it to that wardrobe shit like I was talking about, when you go to shoot these fucking, like, I was shooting some random Google notebook commercial with, actually shout out to Hasan Minhaj, who was the elite, the talent in that, never aired, but I had to go and, like, get fitted for a polo and khakis and a belt. And, like, you have a size card when you audition for commercials that have all your sizes in it. And I have my waist size listed as 40, which it is. The woman is like, the wardrobe woman's like, can you put this belt on? I'm like, the belt doesn't actually close. And she's like, well, it's a size 40. And I go, yeah, I know, but sometimes you need to go like a couple of sizes larger in the belt for the sake of the slack. Because if it's 40 and I'm a waist size 40, I'm going to barely be able, like, I can get, there's no room in the pants, so there's not going to be any room in the belt. And she's like, well, you said 40. And I'm like, well, it doesn't fit. She's like, it should fit if you say you're 40, if you're actually a 40. So I have to sit here and talk to a woman and remind her about my obesity, which is like triggering. This is like triggering on everything of my entire childhood. It's like a woman going, like, my worst fears are coming into play. Like, a woman's like, oh, you're overweight, that's a problem. And it's like, no. I've finally gotten comfortable with my size. Just don't make it a big deal. Just find me a bigger fucking belt. And then it's humiliating. And I know this happens to a lot of fat people, because they'll, they'll be like, all right, we have some pants for you. I'm like, well, what kind of pants do you want me to wear? They're like, jeans or black pants? I'm like, I'll bring jeans and black pants. They're like, really? We have some. I'm like, okay, but I trust me, it's just gonna, and then like, they're fucking just grabbing, oh, 4034, that's perfect. You grab it, and if it's fucking like not Levi's or Arizona or some American brand, it might not fit, or it's a weird cut, or it gets, I can't get my thighs in, but I could maybe foreseeably button it around my, underneath my gut. And I'm like, they don't give a fuck. People will let you just hang out there. And you hear about this more and more. Obviously, I think women and then you hear about it even more with people of color in hair and makeup. But it is like you're they make you feel bad. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry for the extra work, but aren't the clothes supposed to fit me? Like, aren't you supposed to just do this? And it's fucking upsetting and it's triggering is what I guess what I'm getting at. Is it's
absolutely
triggering.
It's people who have autopiloted their job. Which is true, I think, of actors and writers and directors, too. You're kind of like, okay, I've done this long enough. I can get away with the bare minimum and still be successful.
Yeah.
That's great, but how does that make me feel if you're like, oh, you said you were a 40. Are you lying?
Right.
Did you lie? Are you trying to say that you're thinner than a 40 or you're bigger than a 40 and you're trying to say that you're thinner? And like, okay. It's like, no, that is something everyone should know. If you are a costume designer and your job is to outfit people for movies and television and commercials, you should know that the belt has to be bigger than the waist.
Thank you.
Otherwise, it is exactly the right size, and that means you don't need it. The belt is more often than not totally cosmetic.
Yeah.
It is not needed to hold your pants up. Sometimes it is, but if the pants fit correctly, you don't need the belt.
Right.
But we've made it where belts are required cosmetic accoutrement. So the belt needs to be bigger than the pants.
Thank you.
But if you're an asshole,
it is.
Then you either don't know or don't care.
Yeah. You saying the autopilot thing put it into perspective a little bit for me. Like, if I want to give these people the benefit of the doubt, they're just driving home on their normal commute from work and a road is closed. So they have to take a detour and they're like, oh, fuck, this is annoying. Are you sure this detour is necessary? And it's like, rather than just like making the three lefts and rights that they need to get around it, they'll be like, this. And I would do the same thing. I'd be like, fuck. Oh, come on, motherfucker. Can't I just stay on La Cienega for six more blocks or whatever? Instead, it's not a big deal. But
no, there's a giant fucking tractor in the road. You can't stay on La Cienega. You could drive into the tractor if you want.
Exactly. It's like digging in and going, well, why is the road closed to the guy who's flipping the stop sign is not going to help your situation at all.
Sorry, I'm fat.
Yeah.
They booked me for this job, not you. Yeah.
I did say to the woman, if you thought if I was lying about my waist size, I would probably go lower than 40.
Yeah, right?
If 40 is the lie, what's the reality, bro? I'm not honored to write 40 down. That's a number I said I would never want to get to. Well, hun, I'm fucking there, all right? I hope you're happy.
Yeah, 40 is the one size, the first size they don't carry.
Yes, exactly. They're like, 40 is the one you have to ask about. They don't put 40s out. But sometimes they have 40s in the back. Yeah. But if you're a 42, which I've been in my life too, you're toast. You can only wear Carhartt. You have to wear like just fucking construction worker clothes. You have to dress like Action
Ben
Bronson.
Davis. Yeah. Or you have to go to one of the, like, this is the height of indignity in my opinion. It's going to the big and tall. They try to destigmatize the big and tall. And my mother, God bless her, who's in the other room because I'm visiting my mom this week, is she would always be like, well, just go to the big and tall store. These pants don't fit. Let's go to the big and tall store. I'm like, I'm not going to the big and tall store because they treat you like a child.
You're like,
granted, I am 12 at this point, but I did not want to be treated like a child. You go to the fucking big and tall store and they patronize you. It's like, oh, welcome to this wonderful world of fat guy clothes. Yeah. And isn't it great that we can live freely here? It's like a Holocaust survivor going to Israel for the first time. is when you go to the fucking big and tall store. But that is not okay. I don't want to be treated differently. I want to be treated like everybody else. And I want you to carry a 38 at your fucking Abercrombie or your Urban Outfitters or your H&M. I want a 38.
Yeah.
Don't make me go to the big and tall store. Because guess what? Most of the big and tall store clothes, those are for people who are really big.
Yes.
And that means I'm looking for the 38. And I'm like, you guys have a 49 or for a 50,
yeah,
but you don't have a 38. So what am I doing here?
That's my problem too, is that I'm like right in between. Also, the issue with big and tall is if you're not 6'9" when you walk in, you really are pointed at that you're just big, bro. Like, you're like, Dave, I know you're not taller than me. And so when I get sent to the big and tall, I'm like, I'm not tall, so I know why I'm here. Like, I know I'm here for the big part of the big and tall, you fucking pricks.
Yeah, I can't. I'm going to start walking around looking like I'm that guy from, what's it called? BoJack Horseman, that's in the adult coat. What's his name?
Oh, it's like Vincent Adultman or whatever, something
yes,
like that.
Yes, exactly. Like, I'm going to start looking like that. I'm gonna look like Mini-Me when he's dressed like Austin Powers. I'm going to look ridiculous. Like, give me something that's in between big and tall, and these clothes are only made for people who do heroin. Like, there's gotta be a better way. And thank God we are in an era where elastic pants exist and are prevalent and are free flowing, and nobody cares. Regular people wear elastic pants. This is the most democratic period of fashion I can remember.
I love it. I'm here for all that shit. You know what? I'm also, let's just to get into fashion, like you talked about, like looking through magazines and stuff. I like that fashion has hit like every community in a way, and like, I mean, I am talking to a black man, so I'll use but like fashion in amongst my black friends has changed so much in the last decade in such a way where it's like, and then you watch like the NBA guys all just fucking flexing hard on with their outfits, and you're like, oh, this is fuck. And this season I was really catching up and seeing it more, and from following both, I'm not a big basketball head or a fashion head, but I follow so many between Instagram and Twitter and friends of friends, that I started to know. And in my head, I was just going, I hope that the NFL starts doing shit like this, and I'll just be clocking what every lineman and linebacker, what companies they're wearing. Cause I'll just be like, cause that was the fun thing about basketball too. I was like, well, if these giant dudes are going to get companies to start making shit in like, length 51, that might make it a little more open for everybody. Like, and I'm just excited that, like, I hope big boy fashion comes in hard. So like that there's people. So when you go, also the other thing is going to big and tall shops, everything is solid. There's no crazy colors. Cause they're like, hide, fat people. You have to hide.
Yeah, don't draw attention to yourself. Don't wear red because you look like the Kool-Aid man. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to like when I see more athletes in their fits, and the bigger dudes, I'm just going to be fucking writing down every company. Like, I'm going to be like, okay, so they make a fucking 44 shoulders or whatever. I think I'm a 54L or 52L and 54R in suits. So I'm like, I want to see the big boys, what they're rocking. Like, and that shit excites me. And that's like, you're talking about going through GQ. For minimum, it's me going like, oh, like Robert Kirkman wore this tux on the red carpet. Where did he get that tux? Because if I ever need to wear a tux, that's what I need.
I think Robert Kirkman was a better reference than, like, I was going to say George R.R. Martin. What,
catch
what
me
fucked
in suspenders.
Up hat is he wearing?
Like, catch me in suspenders in a weird chauffeur's cab.
Oh, man.
So where are you going for fashion inspiration these days? Like, do you have, like, go-to sites or magazines or designers? Or do you have inspiration like in your head when you're thinking of like clothes you want? And you're like, ooh, this season I'm going to be all about, you're currently rocking a very beautiful pink flamingo light, like linen shirt of some sort. And I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of it, but what's your motivation or inspiration these days?
Well, so there are obvious, you know, places to go that have been around for a long time. Like GQ, I think, is doing wonderful work in changing the way we think about fashion for men, democratizing it. The writers and editors there are doing a great job of like finding the intersection of fashion and culture and putting people who are non-traditional subjects into great clothes. Like this last issue, they had a Steve Buscemi profile, and they had Buscemi dressed up real nice.
Hell
and
yeah!
Post Malone did a cover spread, and Post Malone is a regular looking dude who's kind of ugly.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, here we go. This is it. It doesn't always have to be Brad Pitt or Chris Evans or something. It can be like weird, cool people who are kind of ugly. So I go to GQ a lot. And I also have this app. It's called Mr. Porter. Mr. Porter is essentially the men's extension of Net-A-Porter, which is like the app where you go. It's a women's app. Net-A-Porter is a women's app. Mr. Porter is for men. It's just a bunch of different brands, fashion brands. And you can search by brand. You can search by what clothes you need. And then it has an editorial function where they like recommend stuff and they have articles and features and all kinds of things. So when I'm taking a shit or something, I'll just scroll through this. Or like if my girlfriend Hallie and I are in bed, I'll just be like looking at my phone, looking at clothes and thinking about clothes in my spare time, just because that's fun for me.
Yeah,
I enjoy that. And then, you know, when you see like what things, because you can go on the Mr. Porter app and see like what's new. There's a big button that says what's new. If you just click what's new, it's like, oh, OK, here's all the things that companies are putting out, that designers are putting out, things that are fashionable right now. Camp collar shirts like the one I'm wearing where it's like the open collar. That's been a summer trend for the last, I guess, 3 or 4 years.
That's one of my favorite. That's pretty much what I have in there, because I have so many of the Hawaiian shirts, which usually have that kind of collar, too.
Exactly. And then I'll go to stores. Like there are stores, physical brick and mortar stores in LA that I know I can go to that are going to have the designers and the clothes that I want to wear. So I go to Mohawk General Store, which is on Sunset in Silver Lake, near, I guess, what is near there? Oh, there's a Sweet Green near there.
that's just a standard LA direction. There's a Sweet
yeah,
Green.
Where's the Sweet Green?
There's a Sweet Green near there. It's like being on Long Island and saying it's next to the Italian ice place.
Exactly. It's in the same complex as the old Circus of Books, so like that weed store You know what I mean? And if you start going to the same store to either buy clothes or just look at clothes, there's a special magical thing is going to happen. They're going to remember who you are. The manager, the clerks are going to remember like, oh, this guy came in here and he wanted that. And you looked at that, or he's interested in this designer or that color or whatever. And when they start to develop a familiarity with you, they will recommend things to you. It's like, oh, you know what I think you'll like is this. You should try this.
We're talking about the human interaction algorithm. The best kind of algorithm there is.
Exactly. Just the ability for someone to be like, I know you like this, and I want to give you this because I think it will also gratify you and it will look good on you.
You've been in here asking about this, and look, we got something similar, but I also think based on you bought these last time, you might like these too, you know, whatever the thing is. And that's a great feeling.
And when you have really developed a rapport with this person, they will do, for a fee, essentially, what your friends may or may not do. And that is tell you when you look like shit in something.
Yeah.
They're not, if they're really, like, invested in you as a returning customer, they won't just force clothes on you. Because the worst feeling is like, oh, that fucking guy at the store told me I looked good, and I got home and I looked like shit, and I got ragged for looking like shit, or I couldn't button the jacket, and he was like, it doesn't matter if you can button the jacket, just wear it open. And then it's like, oh no, everyone can tell, because it's like they can physically see that there's no way that it would be possible to button the jacket. It's not enough that it's like you leave it open, but when someone can eyeball you and be like, yeah, that jacket could never physically close on that person's body, it doesn't matter, like you're sold out. So you want those clerks to have a feeling of ownership of you as a customer, that they want to make you happy, they want to make sure that you're wearing clothes that look good and that you will come back and trust them.
Hell yeah. And also if your shopping trip like becomes fruitless and like you don't find anything to buy that time, you might get kicked off on like, but I am now looking for a cool, like now I do know I want a short sleeve white button down or something. Like you might get inspired to like keep your eye out for other things. So like I think that, because that's where I get a lot of it from. Like I'll see someone wear something cool, or I'll be like some, like I'll wear a shirt that I think I like, and then it'll get multiple compliments, and I'll be like, oh, maybe this shirt. And then I'll like be like, why do I like this shirt? Why do people, I like it? I'm like, oh, the color looks good on my skin when I'm tan. Oh, the fit is nice. My arms look buff in this. And then it's like, all right, let's see how we can make that happen again with a different color shirt, or, you know what I mean? Like, and that's been a fun game for me as I'm becoming like caring more about this shit for the first time in my life.
Yeah. You got to crowdsource your choices sometimes. You have to have an innate sense of style, but you also have to be open to suggestions.
Yeah.
And also look at the other people that are in the store. What are they looking at? And one of the nice things about living in Los Angeles is you might see a famous person, or a person who's successful, or a person who's like, oh yeah, maybe I should be looking at this stuff because that guy or woman is like interested in that thing. Like this, one of the stores I go to, I'll periodically see Rian Johnson buying clothes, oh, a director, yeah. And I'm like, oh, we have totally different body types. There's no way that we would ever be able to wear the same clothes, but we are clearly interested in the same kinds of clothes. So if I see him like looking at something, I'm like, oh, okay, I should consider this. Because I think, you know, you can see people who have style that you admire, or people whose style is similar to yours. So it could be just a stranger, it could be a famous person, it could be your friend, it could be your dad, whatever. Like, find those inspirations, find those key pieces, and see what people are doing, and take inspiration from it. Don't ever copy anybody.
Yeah.
Copying what people wear is the worst fucking thing you can do, because that means you don't have any style for yourself. But if you look at what someone's doing and you take some inspiration from it and you say, I want to do something like that. It's the same thing with writing or any creative endeavor. And I would say wearing clothes is a creative endeavor. It's a form of expression. If you take what someone else is doing and get inspired by it, but put your own spin on it, you're going to be a happier person.
Yeah, I would say, like, to keep it along the gender lines of male fashion, like the same shit we do with haircuts. It's like you can't, yep, straight up rip off some dude like a haircut because it might not work on you, but you could tell your barber, hey, look at this picture of insert male celebrity, male model, rapper, athlete, whatever. I kind of want hair like this. They'll be like, hey, your head's way too fat, but I can. But if it's because you like the high fade, we can work on that. Same thing with fashion. It's like, I like this dude's outfit. It's like, yeah, but I don't know about you wearing white linen as a fucking, you know, you eat red sauce every day. So here's your version of that. Like, you know, like here's how you can kick off from there.
Yeah, you're taking the details. You're not taking the broad strokes of someone's outfit. You're taking like, oh, I really like plum as a color.
Yeah, yeah.
I really think,
yeah,
like a dark purple is cool. I'm going to get a dark purple blazer.
Yeah.
Or I really like the break on that person's pair of pants. I would like a break similar to that.
Yes.
And I would like to wear shoes that look a certain way with that. It's like everything is about details. It's not about, I'm just going to copy this thing. I'm just going to copy this.
The first time I ever felt the real hit of I should concern myself with what I wear is because I was just coasting through life going like, yeah, whatever. I look like at best medium anyway. So like, I'll just throw on this button down shirt that I think is cool or funny. And I'll wear this with jeans, my one pair of jeans that fit. And then I'll either wear shitty sneakers or less shitty shoes if it's like a formal thing. But I went to Sundance because I was like a small part of this movie, and some of the other cast members were there, and they're a little bit more clothes horse type people, and maybe in my head too, and maybe I was projecting this, but like in shape, and like it was Dave Franco, my friends Dave Franco and Adam Pally, but Nick Offerman was there too, and he's not necessarily a model figure, but these guys, we had to pose for so many pictures and like be in so many situations where I felt like I looked like such an asshole because of my outfit. Like there's even like a cast picture where everyone is all did it up. And this is my first Sundance. And it's like, everyone looks cool. Like Aubrey Plaza and Alison Brie. I'm just name dropping, but I just want to show you how cool and fashionable the other people were. And then just like, in the back is like a 300-pound guy whose hair and beard is all messed up, and he's in just like a pearl snap cowboy shirt, and it's like everyone else is like dressed for Sundance, and I'm like, in hindsight, I'm like, oh, I look like such a fucking idiot, and it's because I didn't even wear something. I should have just worn a Hawaiian shirt underneath a winter jacket, and I would have at least felt comfortable myself. So now I'm dressed how I think I'm supposed to be dressed, and I look dumb, and I don't feel comfortable. So hindsight, I'm just like embarrassed by myself, and it took those guys being around me, like getting in a photo with fucking Dave Franco and Adam Pally. You start to feel fat and sweaty like immediately. You're like, okay, yeah, you guys are wearing leather jackets over sweaters and are managing to not faint. I'm here in like a fucking visible white crew neck tee underneath a cowboy shirt, looking like a fucking college freshman.
This is the most instructive story you could tell on this podcast, because never dress the way you think you're supposed to dress. Take the guidelines. You know it's Sundance. Okay, great. But you still have to be yourself. And that goes back to what I was saying about uniforms and why I loved uniforms is if you are always the guy who's in the fucking white suit, then that means you don't have to think about what you're going to wear to the occasion. It's you're going to wear a white suit. What is Fran Lebowitz going to wear to a wedding or a book signing or a speaking engagement? The same fucking Anderson and Shepard blazer, jeans, and boots she wears all the time. So it doesn't matter. You don't have to constantly think about it. If you are not the person who's like, oh, I'm comfortable in certain clothes or I like to wear stuff. Like Adam Pally is someone that I get a lot of inspiration from. I don't know him at all. I've never met him before, but his clothes are always cool. He's always got the best fits. He's always trying to like take his style to the next level. And I totally respect that guy and what he does with clothes. But if you're not that person and you don't have that sense, don't try to be that.
Yes.
Because you will miss the mark. Be yourself.
Yeah. To shrink down your examples to the podcast world, Jason Mantzoukas pulls off a plain white button-down and jeans better than most people, and that's exclusively what he wears. He looks good in it.
Yep.
He just knows what he's going to wear to every live performance. It's a genius move.
Yep, exactly. Mike Mitchell.
Yeah.
How about Mitch wearing a Patriots hat and a t-shirt and shorts all the time? That's enough. Yeah. He's happy. Yeah. He doesn't care. When that movie he's in comes out, he'll probably wear that to the premiere. Like, who fucking cares? Like, just be that guy.
Dave, thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty and talking about fashion. And now I got bad news for you. You're going to be getting texted pictures of my outfits in the mirror and requesting advice/roasts. I got bad.
That's okay. That is what that's what boys are for, dude. That's what I said. Your boys are here to give you advice, to tell you when you've gone right, when you've gone wrong. So bring it, man. I'm ready.
Oh, well, that's wonderful news. Thanks, bud.
Pay it forward.
Why don't you tell people a little bit about Full Court Chat and where else they could find you and what else you got going on, which is, according to your social media, A lot.
I have a lot going on. Full Court Chat is my sports comedy improv podcast. I play a kind of obnoxious version of myself, who is a sports writer, who has celebrities of the sports world that are not actually real people on the show. So I have some really amazing comedians. Carl Tart is in an episode. Ben Kahn, Lou Wilson, who's on American Vandal, is in an episode. A lot of great people. John Gabris himself is in an episode that should be dropping sometime around when this episode of High and Mighty comes out. You play a professional wrestler who may or may not have done pornography.
That's all you got to know.
Coin flip of whether or not he's done porno. But you'll see if you listen to the episode. So I think it's really fun. They're 30 minutes. You know, it's in and out. We try to keep it about, you know, the comedy. There's not a lot of goofing and stuff. It's very funny. It's an easy listen. There's going to be six. It's one season. Then we're going to take a break and hopefully do a second season. But I'm very proud of it, and I hope you listen. I hope you subscribe. It's on Apple, Google, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Rocket Fuck, all the
wherever you're listening to this podcast, just open that app and download Full Court Chat and give it a shake.
Yeah, it's easy. Yeah, it's simple, and I hope you listen to it, like it, leave it. A 5-star review of some sort. And you can find me at Dave_Schilling on Twitter. And that's where you'll find out, you know, all my feelings about Black Lives Matter and defunding the police, but also other things too.
But for now, that's going to be a lot of it. So check that out.
Unfortunately, usually my Twitter is just jokes and me promoting stuff. But until the world is a safe and just place for everyone, I'm going to be really annoying.
Yeah. Well, I wonder in 10 days, by the time this episode comes out, maybe maybe it'll all
we
be
fixed. It. Trump resigned. The police department put their guns down and decided we're gonna stop killing people.
LAPD went to Malibu and all did DMT together, and now they're back and a little more empathetic.
We're all bi. We're all into crystals.
If the LAPD went full pansexual, I think it would be life saving for a lot of people.
All it's going to take is one high colonic for every police officer, and they're just going to be like, I think I might be gay. It's going to be awesome.
Dave, thank you so much for coming on High Mighty. Follow Dave. His shit will all be in the show notes or in the tweet accompanying this episode. I'm at Gabrus on social media. Check out Action Boys on Patreon. Check out the Gino Lombardo Show on Stitcher Premium. Promo code Gino for one free month. And as always, thanks for listening, shitheads. Bye.
That was a HeadGum podcast.